My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm your host of this program on alternative medicine. Tonight our topic is about a disease of epidemic proportion, diabetes mellitus. Yes, the National Health Institute and the Department of Health and Human Resources considers the increased growth of diabetes in American society as an epidemic. Worse yet, Hawaii leads the growth rate in the incidence of diabetes, as well as the use and need for dialysis machines. One of the instruments needed to continue life as diabetes mellitus goes on its destructive rampage. Tonight, we discuss diabetes. Even better still, my patient Randy joins us to share his successful story of controlling a previously out of control blood sugar level. Let me take a few minutes to mention next week's topic. Next week, alternative veterinarian, medical doctor, Wendy Asato joins me. Dr. Asato will tell us what alternative veterinary medicine is and share her expertise on pet health care. So tune in next Sunday because Dr. Asato will answer your questions on pet health. Then 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be discussing chronic allergies and sinus infections. Sure to be an interesting program. Once again, next Sunday, alternative veterinarian medicine with Dr. Wendy Asato. Then 2 Sundays from tonight, eliminating allergies and chronic sinus infections forever, naturally. Also, regarding the program and topic on the miraculous healing ability of the human body, my patient Jim was so disappointed that he missed sharing his story on the air. I promised him a repeat show in which he could share his story of how miraculous the human body is at regenerating and repairing broken and malfunctioning parts. Jim will join us on July 29th. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the alternative medical field and health industry, Huckleberry Farms Health Food Store, where you find quality health foods and products at affordable prices. Qualitree International and Rejuven are producing quality skincare products to repair damaged skin and prevent stretch marks. Enzymatic Therapy and Phytopharmaca Supplement Company, producing quality supplements for your health care needs. The Shoe Doctor, where you find the finest made-to-fit foot orthotics. The Light Body Reiki Center, taking healing to another level. The Back to Health Chiropractic Center in Kailua, the chiropractic neurologist. And the Island Wellness Center, specializing in the treatment of chronic illness. Let's take an important sponsorship break with our friends from Enzymatic Therapy, Koala Tree, and Huckleberry Farm.
Dr. Jason Uchida of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a doctor of naturopathic medicine and has been in private practice for the past 12 years. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and you may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 T. Court Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96814, and the phone number is 589-1955. That's 589-1955. Or you may email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pbchawaii.com.
Jason Uchida. And you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. If you have a question on diabetes, please call us at 524-1080. Tonight we're discussing a very serious health problem in America. Diabetes mellitus is increasing in its rate of incidence. Today it is estimated that 20 million Americans suffer from this devastating illness, with yet another 20 million people being undiagnosed. The devastating nature of diabetes is in the debilitating complications that it causes. Diabetes mellitus increases the risk of developing hypertension or high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, kidney damage, kidney failure, blindness, nerve damage, and circulation problems, which lead to poor wound healing and increases the possibility for amputation. Diabetes costs us greater than $100 billion annually to provide medical care to manage these associated health complications. But what makes these statistics depressing is the knowledge that this disease and its mortality and financial costs are a growing wildfire in the face of the fact that this illness is preventable. Tonight, we are specifically discussing type 2 diabetes mellitus. My patient Randy will be joining us in a few minutes after we learn the basics of diabetes. Diabetes is a disorder that interferes with the body's ability to transport digested food and ingest it simple sugars into the cells, where it is converted into energy. When we eat, the digestive system converts food into glucose. Glucose is a simple sugar that is our main source of energy. Once glucose becomes available in the bloodstream, it must enter the cells to provide this energy. The pancreatic hormone insulin is required to escort glucose into the cells. In a healthy person, the pancreas's beta cells produce exactly the amount of insulin needed to match the amount of sugar that is in the bloodstream and moves the sugar into the cells. Dependent on the type of diabetes mellitus, there is either low or no insulin production or an inability to utilize the insulin that is produced. In both cases, glucose builds up in the bloodstream where it produces the devastating complications that produce the massive cost in life and medical care. So what are the early signs and symptoms of diabetes? Once the sugar levels start to overflow in the bloodstream, the body attempts to aid in the elimination of the excess sugar by increasing thirst to dilute the excess sugar and increase fluid volume to stimulate the production of urine that increases urination and increases the excretion of sugar. Extreme hunger, fatigue, and weakness are common symptoms because the body's fuel, glucose, is not being adequately transported into the cells and converted into energy. Diabetics have slow wound healing and frequent infections because the high sugar levels, low circulation, weakens the immune system and provides a good environment for bacteria and fungus to grow. A sweet-smelling breath may indicate a serious situation is near as sugar levels are extremely high and the body starts to rely too heavily on fat metabolism, resulting in an acidotic state. Diabetes has two primary forms. The first and rarer form is the type 1 or insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus, formerly known as juvenile onset diabetes, because it commonly occurs in younger patients. It is considered an autoimmune disease and results with the immune system attacking the insulin-producing beta cells of the pancreas, destroying them. The result is a pancreas that produces little or no insulin. The exact cause of the attack on the beta cells is not known, but both genetic and viral factors may be involved. A person with type 1 diabetes requires exogenous insulin to sustain life, exogenous being insulin from an outside source. This insulin comes from cows, pigs, or synthetic purified DNA forms. The insulin must be injected daily. In summary, type 1 diabetes must take or diabetics must take exogenous insulin. Tonight's discussion will focus on type 2 diabetics. Type 2 diabetes mellitus, or non-insulin dependent diabetes mellitus, is the most common form of diabetes. Again, approximately 20 million Americans are affected by this disease, with another 20 million yet to be diagnosed. Type 2 diabetics have been called adult onset diabetes because it commonly occurred after the age of 40. However, there has been an alarming increasing number of young adults and teenagers being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes mellitus in the past 10 years. Scientists believe that the increasing rate of diabetes is due to the increasing obesity rates in America. The majority of type 2 diabetics are overweight. American obesity has increased by a whopping 50% in the past 20 years. Type 2 patients usually produce some insulin, but either insulin production is inefficient to transport all of the blood sugar into the cells, or that the insulin is having difficulty in transporting glucose into the cells because of a thicker barrier of fat surrounding the cells. This thicker fatty layer requires greater levels of insulin to muscle the glucose into its target. This slow transport keeps blood sugar levels high and is called insulin resistance, meaning the cells have more resistance to the insulin, and the resistance being provided by the excess fat surrounding the cells. Why do you want to avoid having this disease or keep it under control? Diabetes is the leading cause of end-stage kidney failure and disease, which would produce the need for daily or a few times a week dialysis visits. Diabetes is the number one cause of strokes in the United States. Over 50% of the amputations are diabetic-related. Diabetes is the number one cause of blindness in America. Diabetics are four times as likely to have cardiovascular disease as compared to people without diabetes. Diabetes causes a high rate of impotency. Severe pain and numbness in the legs and arms are common in diabetics. So before we move on, let's talk quickly about the conventional medical treatment for diabetics. Biguanidines are multi-action drugs and are the most widely prescribed type 2 medication, and they come in the form of metformin or glucophage. It works by reducing hepatic or liver glucose production, which decreases the body's need to add to the blood sugar levels. These drugs also reduce intestinal absorption of glucose and increases insulin sensitivity and increases glucose uptake into muscle cells. So sulfonylureas such as diabenes work by stimulating pancreatic production of insulin. Because sulfonylureas increase insulin production, they contain the possibility of inducing hypoglycemic reactions. This class of drug has a history of significant side effects, primarily cardiovascular problems. Glucosidase inhibitors such as Prepost work by delaying the absorption of digested carbohydrates. This decreases the load on an inefficient metabolic system and slows the rise in blood sugar levels. The take on current medical treatment is this. The cost of medical care of diabetics continue to rise. People continue to die from diabetic-related strokes, heart attacks, and kidney failure. The need for dialysis machines continues to increase. What this all adds up to is that the current medical treatment for type 2 diabetics does not work. We need to aggressively look for other options and actively pursue the only treatment that works to date. These treatments are both preventative and natural. We will look at them in a few minutes. At this time, I'd like to introduce a gentleman who took matters into his own hands and no longer has diabetes, but will probably always be actively working at keeping it away. Randy, welcome to the program. Randy, would you tell us when you were diagnosed with diabetes?
I was diagnosed with diabetes April 9th of this year, and it was classified as the type 2 adult onset.
Okay. So you remember that date?
Oh, yeah. Life-changing.
Did you have any symptoms that alarmed you at that time?
Yes, it was the... A couple of symptoms that I had was the unquenchable thirst, constant urination, going to the bathroom, getting up, and the fatigue. I'm just getting up 3 or 4 times in the morning, going to the bathroom.
Was that alarming to you when you started to develop these symptoms?
Yes. Due to my job, if I was fatigued, then I couldn't basically perform my job, so I classified myself as a risk.
Okay.
I went in and saw the doctor.
And you're a young man. I mean, you know, you're a young
man.
Yeah,
I'm not 40 yet.
You're about, what, 32, 33?
Actually, I'm 36.
36?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you look younger than you look, actually. Very good. What was your blood sugar level and A1C level at the time you were diagnosed on April 9th?
It was really high. I was looking at a 378.
378,
yes.
Blood sugar level.
And your normals are like 80 to 120.
Yeah.
And my A1C was 11.1.
Okay.
And I guess your normals are like 46%.
Right. It's usually anything under 6 would be considered normal.
Yeah.
So
I had 11.1.
Yeah, you're almost double.
Yeah.
Close to double what it should have been. So your blood sugar levels were like out of control.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too much shave ice.
Oh, that's your secret. So what would you tell us what the conventional medical treatment, or what conventional medical treatment were you given?
They gave me metformin or glucophage.
Okay.
And I was originally given 500 milligrams when I first went in there for the first 2 weeks.
Okay.
And
so, again, metformin or glucophage is the most commonly used medication by conventional medical doctors for type 2 diabetic.
Right.
And anything else besides the metformin?
Nope.
No diet change?
They handed me some pamphlets and said, you know, I could go and look in the internet and They hand me some piece of paper from the internet saying what, you know, the American Diabetes Association recommends and so forth. And I went out and took a nutritional awareness class to see what, you know, what they consisted of and so forth.
And did you work on your diet?
Yeah, we
after that point.
Yeah, we started. My wife and I started adjusting our diet.
According to the American Diabetic Association.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what happened with your blood sugar levels after you started to change your diet according to the American Diabetic Association and taking the metformin?
It was decreasing. It was going down slowly. Not fast, but I mean slowly.
Okay, what was the level?
2 weeks after that, I was still at a 263.
263.
Yeah, so it went down just a little over 100.
Okay, still quite high, though, at way above normal.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Why did you choose to seek natural medicine to help you lower your blood sugar level?
For an alternative, medication or diagnosis to help control my diabetic condition.
Better?
Yes.
Okay. Because I guess when you came in to see me, your blood sugar levels was about?
It was about 150, 200 still.
Okay. And so you came in to see me, I think you told me April 30th.
Yes.
Was the visit.
Yep.
Okay. Would you describe the treatment that I put you on for the listening audience?
I guess the beginning that the treatment that you put me on was a diet, a supplemental supplement, and an exercise program.
Okay.
The diet that you put me on was that Candida diet, which was for somebody who was a type 1
diabetic.
Even though I wasn't a type 1, I was a type 2, but I still wanted to get this under control because it was really high.
Yeah.
So I went on the diet that you handed me.
Okay.
And my wife and I, bless her heart, she was helping me out and cooking all these foods and eating what I was eating.
Yeah. And your wife didn't have the diabetes, but she was supporting you.
Right.
Would you kind of give the listening audience an example of what that diet consisted of and what maybe what you eat on a daily basis? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Basically, the diet consists of vegetables, proteins, all your meats, chicken, fish, as much as you want. Those are proteins and not carbohydrates or sugars.
Right.
Some nuts, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, I think, and so forth. And not a lot of products that would turn into carbohydrates. Basically, got rid of the white rice, the pastas, the bread, and
fruit.
just a lot of products or carbohydrates that wouldn't turn into sugar to help control it.
Okay.
So my daily diet would be like a protein and a rice cracker or something with either cream cheese or peanut butter on it.
Okay.
The natural peanut butter. And then lunch would be a salad and a protein.
Fish or a chicken or beef.
Yep.
Okay.
And then dinner would consist of also another salad, a steamed vegetable, and another protein.
Okay.
As well as all the supplements that you put me on.
Okay. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to kind of explain why the diet changed. Because what Randy was mentioning is that we allow him to eat fish and chicken and turkey and beef. And the reason for that is there's zero carbohydrates in those foods, so none of it will be converted into sugar. So we're not worried about the fat or the carbohydrates per se, even though we're wanting to make sure that we're not adding too much fat, but we worry about that later, basically. And the carbohydrates that Randy does eat is more complex carbohydrates, and that's the brown rice, vegetables, beans, and whole grains. Do you eat any oatmeal?
Yep.
The oatmeal?
Yep.
Okay, for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and unfortunately, we have to remove most of the fruit. And the reason for that is fruit is a simple carbohydrate, a lot of sugar in fruit, and that raises the blood sugar levels quite high. So the goal is to keep the blood sugar level maintained under 110 and above about 80. So that's a pretty narrow range for anyone to keep their blood sugar levels in. But when you're in that controlled level, your risk of having heart attacks, strokes, problems with your kidneys and your vision and the nervous system is basically nil. And that's what our goal basically, I guess, is for the long term. But Randy's idea was, you know, he had to get it under control mainly because of other things. So the diet, we want to eliminate the sugar, the simple carbohydrates. Keep that low because that is what raises blood sugar levels really quickly. So obviously, if you remove the sugar, you're not going to have much sugar in the body to raise blood sugar levels. So
control the intake.
Exactly. But how much carbohydrates are you eating, would you say, complex carbohydrates are you eating now on average? If you had to give it a percentage range in your diet.
I'd say, well, I guess the average is 1,250 to 1,500 per day.
So about 50% of your diet?
I'd say I'm at least 1,000.
Okay. So probably about maybe 45% or so of carbohydrates coming from your diet. So in the form of complex carbohydrates, which we all need carbohydrates, but it's the different types that cause blood sugar problems. So let me talk about that a little bit. So the difference between simple carbohydrates, which are cakes, cookies, pie, juice, soda, noodles, bread, and fruit, they raise the blood sugar levels really fast because the body doesn't need to digest that food. So the sugar in those foods just flood into the bloodstream. And at that point, your body has to deal with the sugar. And if the sugar levels are really high from those foods, the sugar just sits in the blood, basically, where then it will start causing damage to the blood vessels, nerves, eyes, and those kinds of things. But when you eat a complex carbohydrate, like brown rice, whole grains, vegetables, beans, because your body has to digest them to convert it into glucose, it takes time. So the blood sugar level rises very slowly over a period of an hour or maybe even longer. And by that time, your body can actually start to burn off some of the sugar that's being brought in. All right. Let's go on to exercise, because that was very important.
Yes.
A very important part of the program. What did you start doing?
I started working out 6 times a week. I do 3 days of cardiovascular and 3 days of weight training.
Okay.
And then on the 7th day, I heal up.
Yeah. Thank God. I mean, God first would be proud of that. You're at Sunday. How long would you do cardiovascular? And what type of cardiovascular work were you doing?
Either the treadmill or a cross trainer, which is an upper body and what do they call those? Cross country skiing type.
Okay.
So you do those. I do that about 35, 40 minutes a day.
A day? 3 days a week?
Yeah, 3 days a week.
Okay.
And then I'd weight train about 35, 40 minutes.
3 days a week?
3 days a week.
Okay. We'll talk about your weight in a minute, because a lot of people are probably wondering, God, he's only been doing this. Randy's only been doing this for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're claiming success. But the amazing thing about it is the daily blood sugar level that Randy shows every day. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the reason why exercise is a very important adjunct to the program is so that we can eat more sugar, basically. But what exercise does is when you do aerobic exercise, which is the cross training, the running, the walking, swimming, or cycling, or aerobic exercise in the gym, what that does is it burns off body fat. Okay, you're getting rid of body fat, which, if you remember what I was talking about, body fat will also enclose the cells of the muscle, which makes it very difficult for insulin to pull the glucose into the cell. So if you can imagine having a layer of fat, a thicker layer of fat around a muscle cell, it might take 2, 3, 4 molecules of insulin to drag in 1 molecule of glucose. So that's the difference. So that's why you're in those cases where you have what is called resistance to insulin, you're going to be needing more insulin to pull in a little bit of sugar. And then, you know, you cause the sugar to kind of back up in the blood, causing the blood sugar levels to rise. So Aerobic exercise, very important, and that's what Randy and I talked about, that he needed a combination of both aerobic exercise and anaerobic exercise, which basically what I talk about is weight training. And Randy weight trains three times a week for about 40 minutes a day, three times a week. So why weight training is we need to increase the amount of cells that burn off sugar. And the cells that burn off the most sugar is muscle cells. So when you weight train, you're increasing muscle mass, which then allows your body to burn off more sugar every second of every day. And that's going to help you control blood sugar better and also allow you to eat more food that you would like to eat. And number three, the last thing that we did, Randy, was the supplement. Any input on the supplements for the listening audience?
One thing I liked about the supplements, that it was all natural, and it actually controlled my numbers rapidly and within a tighter tolerance. In other words, when I was just on the glucophage or metformin, I had a wider range that it was jumping around from going to low to high.
And you bumped up, or the medical doctors bumped up the dosage of metformin.
Right, 2 weeks after I was first diagnosed with it, when they gave me, they were giving me the 500 milligrams. 2 weeks later, they bumped it up to 1,000 milligrams.
And what was your blood sugar at that time?
And it was still high 260s.
260s, yeah. On the metformin at 1,000 milligrams.
Yes.
Okay, so with a high dosage of metformin or the type 2 diabetic medication, your blood sugar levels are still in a 260.
Yes.
Still real high.
Real high. Okay. So they tried to bring it down.
By adding more metformin, which didn't do the job.
No.
And metformin is their medicine of choice for type 2 diabetics. It does do three things. It decreases the insulin resistance. So it makes a... tries to help insulin get into the muscle cell a little bit easier. It decreases the absorption of glucose in the body, and it also helps you make a little bit more insulin. So the supplements that I gave Randy, they're all natural, and they're a combination of vitamins, minerals, and herbs. So basically what I told Randy was the pancreas needs material to make insulin. So we got to make sure that we give the pancreas the material it needs to make its insulin. It's kind of like if you want to build chairs, we need wood to do it. We can't build it out of thin air. So the nutrients that we're giving the pancreas are things like manganese, chromium, magnesium, vanadium, zinc, folic acid, B vitamins, choline, inositol, vitamin C, vitamin E, bioflavonoids, those kinds of things. And the herbs. I'll just kind of mention a few of the herbs that I use. Digitium, aloe, bitter melon is a very popular one now, bilberry, mulberry, fenugreek, gymnema sylvestri, garlic, onion, stinging nettles. What they do is they do a combination of things that the metformin does. It helps the pancreas make more insulin. It slows down the absorption of glucose into the body. Randy, how well has it been working? The combination of the three things that you've been doing the last 2.5 months.
Yeah, it's been super. We got it to go within a tighter range of numbers there, and I'll be able to control a lot better.
What's your number?
I'm actually averaging like 80s, mid-80s to mid-90s.
Okay. See, that's tight. That's tight control, and that's what I was telling Randy we have to do for him. Because of Randy's job, occupation, he has to have everything in line. Otherwise, he is not allowed to perform his duties. So we have to get him below 110. And I don't know if there are any diabetics out there listening who are taking metformin or even insulin. You know, they cannot get their blood sugar levels in a tight range like that. And so when we're talking about 80s and 90s, Randy, how often do you take your blood sugar level?
I take it four times a day prior to every meal and before I go to bed. So I get to experiment, like you're talking about, with different foods.
Right.
So I can see what's what's working for me and what's not, or I might have to cut back on certain things.
Or which foods cause your blood sugar to rise and what causes
Since it's only been 2.5 months, I'm still kind of experimenting with the different foods and what I could eat.
Okay, so Randy's taking them 4 times a day, and your blood sugar levels when you take them are?
Mid-80s and mid-90s.
Okay,
yeah.
It's not drifting above that. So, you know, the diabetics out there, most of them, that's just amazing. Because the metformin doesn't do that. It doesn't cause your blood sugar levels to be so tight, below normal, but yet not low, not too low.
Yeah, I was fluctuating to like low 70s to upper 120s on the glucophage. Metformin.
Upper 120s?
Yeah.
At 1,
like 123, 125.
Okay.
So I was still kind of still up there fluctuating like you talked about.
Okay. So I know what you're saying. Okay, so let's take everybody back, because I think some people are getting confused. But I caught up with Randy. So at one time, Randy was taking 1,000 milligrams of metformin, plus you were taking the supplements and you changed your diet.
Yes.
Right? And then
right.
That's when you're talking your blood sugar levels were 70 to 120.
Right.
But just about how long ago did you totally stop the metformin?
It has been 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks without it, and then now we got it to within that 80, 90.
Okay. So 3 weeks ago, Randy stopped the metformin totally. Under the orders of the doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not doing anything behind their back. Under the orders of the medical doctor, because what did they see? They
saw the numbers being brought under control.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, well, let's take you off of medication and see what happens. If you go above 120, then we're going to put you back on it.
Uh-huh.
So with the supplements, the diet and exercise, I haven't been over 100.
120? Or 100?
Just 100.
Yeah,
it's been mid-90s.
That's amazing, because a lot of diabetics out there are probably saying, God, my blood sugar levels fluctuate from maybe even 200s to maybe even 70.
Right. If you think about, like, right now it's only been 2.5 months since I was diagnosed with it. The first, say, month or 3 weeks, was just on the metformin glucophage. So if you take the 2.5 months out of that minus the 3 weeks, we're looking at 7 weeks that we brought it under control.
Under control.
Yeah. And
it's,
I mean,
and it's under control.
Excellent control.
Yeah, between 80s and 90s. And remember, Randy started out at a blood sugar level of 378, did you say? Yeah, so that's quite, you know, quite bad and out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go ahead and tonight we're discussing beating diabetes mellitus with diets and natural supplements with Randy. If you have a question for Randy or I, please call us at 524-1080. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. Randy, how did you feel about the progress that you made with the diet changes, the natural supplements, and exercise?
I'm really impressed with it, with the diet, the supplements, and the exercise, what it could do. And how quickly we brought it under control and got it within a tight range.
Mm-hmm. Better than medication.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Better within medication that I was taking. Just because of the variables that were in there. And then, if you correct in one problem, you're actually creating another. But with the supplements and all-natural supplements, you're actually helping to rebuild the pancreas.
Right.
That's what was good. Get your insulin back.
Right. You mentioned side effects. Would you mention what a few of the side effects are for taking metformin?
It could actually do some, like, your kidney damage, liver damage, if you keep taking the metformin or glucophage for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that, we also came to see you about, to try and get
off of the metformin.
Get off of the metformin and use natural supplements.
Randy, in your opinion, why did the American Diabetic Association diet fail to help you control your blood sugar level?
The diet that they recommend, you could still eat what you wanted to eat. They just talked about like your calorie intake or the amount of carbohydrates. The diet that you put me on, like you said, you're actually controlling the amount of sugars you're intaking. So you're more aware of it, of what was going into your diet and what you're consuming. Vice the American Diabetes Association, they handed you a pamphlet and said, here's a list of things and here's your different categories of of foods. And, you know, you just need to be aware of what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
So more or less, you know, what I was looking for, I'm a real simple guy. You tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it. You put it on the list. Hey, you can't have this, and you can have this, but not that.
Oh, okay.
And that was the difference.
They didn't tell you that?
No, they listed all the foods.
Uh-huh.
And it just, you know, says, hey, if you're type 1 or type 2, it didn't have a difference between the two.
Uh-huh.
It's just a pamphlet for diabetics.
Mm-hmm. And it had the list said these foods are good and those are bad, or
no. Not even that. It just listed all the foods. It listed the proteins, fruits.
So it didn't give you any help at all?
No, not.
Okay. Many of my patients, they call the Diabetic Association up who have diabetes, and they say, how come the diet isn't good enough? Because, you know, they were on that Diabetic Association diet, and their blood sugar levels were still really fluctuating greatly and sky high still. And they say, you know, now their diabetes is under control, like yours. You know, maybe not as tight as Randy's, but below 120. And the Diabetic Association tells them that if they put people on the same diet that you're on, Randy, that people won't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, my feeling is give them the option, though. You know, if they want to do it, they can do it with the diet.
Right.
Instead of just setting them up for failure, because that diet is just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you found out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still had high numbers. And it was just a matter of, you know, determination. I needed to do this. I wanted to do this. And I wanted to get it under control.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed a stricter plan, I guess. Or an outline, a clear outline saying this is what you can eat, this is what you can't eat.
Ah, well, I'm glad I was able to provide that for you. Let's take this time for a very important sponsorship break with our friends at Koala Tree, the Shoe Doctor, and the Light Body Reiki Center.
Reiki means universal life force energy. It is a very...
Welcome back to Wellness in the New Millennium. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight we're talking about beating diabetes with my patient, Randy. We have a caller on the line, I believe. Let's go ahead and take that call, Randy. Hi, this is Dr. Uchida and Randy. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. You know, I have a 24-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Who has flushing of her face.
Okay.
And the soles of her feet and sometimes her palms.
Oh, her palms.
And at the same time, she has stinging eyes.
Stinging eyes.
Whenever she eats lunch.
Okay.
And dinner. Just about the time, like 10 to 2 and 5 to 9.
Okay.
And this happens every day.
Every day?
Yes.
Wow.
Since October of last year.
Oh, you're giving me a tough one.
Yeah. I've seen so many specialists, taking so many diagnostic tests.
They call it Raynaud's? Or anyone
well,
call it Raynaud's phenomenon?
Somebody said that her hands, yes, had cold hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But now sometimes it gets... clammy.
Uh-huh.
Perspire.
Okay.
You know? And then she started to have palpitations.
Okay. So, I see a few, it's mainly in gentlemen that I see this thing called rosacea, and it's the flushing of the face. But typically they don't have flushing of the feet or the hands. But I would suspect that your daughter has a problem called a systemic candida infection, which we talk about a lot on the radio.
Yeah, show. Last week you did talk.
Yes, and it's also called the leaky gut syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And typically, if, you know, the symptoms that you mentioned, flushing, numbness, tingling, and you mentioned something else, I guess worse after meals, yeah. Typically is a classic systemic candida type of symptom picture.
Oh.
So to diagnose her, though, we'd have to look at other symptoms that she may have. She might have digestive disorders,
yes.
Gas, bloating,
yes.
Maybe intermittent diarrhea and constipation.
No.
She might have eczema or skin rash.
Yeah, itchy skin.
Yeah.
And then her face is sensitive and itchy.
Okay. And... you know, she might have had a history of antibiotic use, whether it was for...
Oh, she had the H. pylori.
H. pylori, okay. So, yeah, I would suspect that she does have a leaky gut problem. And the reason why you mentioned H. pylori was because they gave her antibiotics to kill that, right?
Yeah.
And when was that given to her?
And that was February.
In February. And when has this started?
Flushing.
Yeah, the
October.
Flushing.
But then at that time she was having vaginal infection.
Yeast infection.
Yes.
Yes. So she probably has a systemic yeast infection now.
Oh.
Because of the antibiotic use. It sounds like she had the H. pylori antibiotics in, you say, October of 2000?
H. pylori?
Yes.
No, February.
February. And the flushing started in
October
of 2000.
Yes.
Okay. So was she on, did she have asthma?
No.
As a child or chronic sinus infections?
No.
Acne treatment?
No.
No?
Not bad.
Okay. So I would need to see a history of antibiotic use before the start of symptoms, or also corticosteroids, you know, like prednisone, or estrogen use, like birth control pills and those kinds of things. But it sounds like a systemic candida infection.
Oh.
So the diet needs to be changed. She probably...
She's kind of staying away from all the sugars and a lot of those eggplant tomatoes,
okay.
Potatoes,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Has their symptoms gotten a little bit better since the change?
Well, it gets more when she eats something that has more flavor.
Spices.
Or no, well, she doesn't eat anything with spices, but or seasoning, but like certain fish,
mm-hmm.
are a little bit more. Even if you don't put seasoning, it's tastier.
Okay.
She gets affected with that.
Okay, she could have, because typically when you have a systemic candida infection, you would also have food allergies. Because the digestive tract is a little bit weak, and that's the symptoms of the gas and bloating.
Mm-hmm.
And also skin rash or itchy skin,
mm-hmm.
is physically caused by food allergies.
Oh.
So whether she has a systemic candida infection, but sounds like she does have allergies to certain foods.
Yeah.
So you need to strengthen the digestive tract with certain supplements like Proflora. You want to also give digestive enzymes to help her digest the food that she is eating right now, and probably work on rebalancing the gut flora by trying to get rid of anything that doesn't need to be there or shouldn't be in there, like yeast or maybe even some parasites. Yeah, hope that helped you.
Yeah, and then also she has like sore legs. Would that be connected to
systemic candida infection?
Yeah.
Some people have sore legs and limbs.
Yeah.
And sore feet and sore legs are typical symptoms of diabetics. And most diabetics also have an ongoing systemic candida infection just because of the sugar in the blood is so high that, you know, the yeast will like to feed on that. Yeah, so they just grow. And mucormycosis is a common fungal infection that diabetics have. Yeah. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Randy, we got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to talk about the importance of monitoring your blood sugar levels often. And why do you monitor your blood sugar levels 4 times a day?
So I can, I do it so I can, like, keep a good, eye on what my blood sugar levels are doing and how the different foods are affecting me.
Can you give us an example of what foods shocked you in increasing your blood sugar levels that you ended up taking out of your diet?
The fruits, like oranges, watermelon, tomatoes. I was really surprised at the tomatoes that it would increase.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and that's the key of controlling your blood sugar levels is understanding which foods cause your blood sugar levels to rise, because if you don't take your blood sugar levels at least twice a day, and Randy does it 4 times a day to really keep a good eye on his blood sugar, you might be fooling yourself. You might be thinking, oh, you know, my blood sugar levels are really good, and in actuality they're not, because you're eating certain foods. So that's what I recommend to all my patients, is to make sure that they take their blood sugars levels at least twice a day, every day, so that they know exactly if their blood sugar levels are under control. Because the whole goal of this is to prevent heart attacks, strokes, kidney problems, as well as amputation and blood vessel and nervous system problems. So Randy, after your recent experience with diabetes, what have you learned about the average American diet?
What I've learned about the average American diet is we don't eat a lot of bad stuff. We just have to watch what we eat and how much we eat of it.
Okay.
If you, you know, ever since I've been diagnosed with it, my wife and I have been just really reading the ingredient labels and what are in the foods these days. And if for someone who is on diabetes or is diagnosed with diabetes, then you need to watch what your sugar intake is and your consumption is. So I'm not saying that it's bad for you. I'm just saying that you need to be aware of what's out there.
Yeah, not overdo it.
Right.
So let's say cakes and pies.
See ya.
So they're not a good food for diabetics.
Right.
If you ate a cake, what would happen to your blood sugar level?
I have no clue. It'd probably go sky high again.
1,000.
Yeah, I haven't tried it.
Good boy. All right. So, Randy, has this simple and natural treatment for diabetes been difficult for you?
It really hasn't. Just a lot of awareness, commitment, dedication, supportive family and friends. A loving wife and a good doctor. Wink, wink, none nudge, plug, plug.
Thank you. I'll see you later. But that's true, though. Support really does help. Because
oh, yes.